We've had the privilege of having Pastor Ward Correll and Darla with us many times now. Welcome back, Pastor Ward and Darla. We welcome you. Let's give them a Grace Christian Center welcome.
Thank you.
And today we have a very special member of their family. Their daughter Kelly is with us. Where's Kelly?
She's at the little room.
Oh, okay. All right. So when you see her come back in, that's their daughter. And so we're thrilled that they're here with us. And we want to give them a wonderful welcome, and we're looking forward to the word of the Lord through our precious brother, Pastor Ward Correll.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Oh, it's good to be here again. I think this is one of the first times I've ever gotten to preach in jeans. Hallelujah. I would tend to live in them most of the time myself, but I'm told that this is a relaxed atmosphere and we're walking on property today. So, hallelujah. Oh, it's good to be here again and not to have snow this time. I was up yesterday at sunrise, and I tell you, from the view we suffer at Sherry and Carl's place, we had a view of the mountains, and I tell you, they were crystal clear, and you could see all the way forever. You guys are just called to suffer over here. Just called to suffer. Mm. Turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There are several themes that I'm following this morning. I'm going to be teaching. Now, by the way, I'm more of a teacher than a preacher, if you haven't discovered that already. I got a bunch of verses this morning, and if you lose track jotting them down, just buy the tape and you go back and listen to it and push pause and write them down. As I'm not going to take forever going from verse to verse to some of the times, because it would just take too long to get there and to get where I'm going. And on the website next week with my permission.
Huh?
Okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, whenever I read verse 52, I think of that funeral service that I held one time and was reading this passage, and I misread the scripture. I didn't go back and correct it in the midst of that funeral service. I said, the dead shall be raised incorrigible. And we shall be changed. We shall be changed. I like that phrase in the scripture, we shall be. We shall be. To me, that ties into a purpose of God, where God's got something moving that regardless of your resistance, regardless of whatever, there's something God is doing. We shall be changed. We shall be. We shall be. Now, change is something that, as I watch the political scene this year, I hear that word frequently. And I tell you, if there's ever a time that our nation needs to be in prayer and the church needs to be in prayer, it's about this time and about this season. Hallelujah. Okay? How good are you at changing? Are you one of those Christians whose road to change is marked by black heel marks all the way across the floor as you willingly resist the moving of the Spirit of God in your life? Are you following me there? Now, by the way, change can happen. You can teach an old dog new tricks, and change doesn't have to stop at any time in your life. It's kind of terrifying when the kids get out the high school book and they look at the high school pictures and they look at you and say, oh, my goodness, they never changed. Have you seen individuals that got trapped in high school?
Yeah.
On hairstyle, clothes style, everything else? And, now, change is needed. And you need to do it. Now, by the way, wives, you only get 3 pokes today. So choose them well. You need to change. But I'm comfortable. You know, I've seen some things, and there's, I'm getting ahead of my message. There's change that's got to happen in our life, and there's a role that the resurrection plays in change. This verse that I just read is at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. And 1 Corinthians 15 is a wonderful chapter about the resurrection. Okay? In Romans chapter 6, verse 5, it says, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the light. I like that. We shall be. We shall be. Remember that phrase? We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. As we're planted in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We're talking about change. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, those things that were gained to me, I count but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Okay, the things that were gained. Now, by the way, one of the main enemies or resistant thing of change is success. The things that were gained to me, I count but loss. Have you ever seen, now, I've not been able to do it myself, that individual standing on the Olympic stand, getting the gold medal on his neck, you know, and I mean, they hit the ball out of the park. My question is, what do you do next? What comes after an Olympic gold? Can you go back to life? Now, I had the privilege one time when I was younger of meeting the evangelist that was used of God in Argentina back in the 40s and the revival that happened back there, where God opened up the country and the largest stadium in the land. Perón got healed of a disease by God, and he opened up a stadium. And for about 30-some days, there was a revival there that shook the nation. Millions of people got saved. There were stacks of crutches and wheelchairs and things like that. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit like you'd never seen before. And then the evangelist left. I mean, he didn't stay there to do the church or to, you know, work with that or whatever. He was there for an appointed time and left. I happened to meet him about 20-some years after that revival in Argentina. And it was my observation, okay, that he had hit the ball out of the park and his life had stopped. His message, the different times I heard him, were about what God did then. He had no current story. He had no current move. He had no current revelation. It was all testimony of what God did in the good old days. The things that were gain, I count but loss.
Sure. Yes.
Now, you may not be an Olympic runner or a home run hitter, but what has caused you to pause or stop? Or have you stopped? Are you still moving? Or have you ever noticed the scenery to find out what you are doing? You guys are quiet this morning. Okay, the things that were gained to me, I count as loss, but for the excellency. Now, back to the role of the resurrection in our changing. 1 Corinthians 15, I love it. Going back there in verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, the gospel that I declare unto you, which I preached unto you, I delivered unto you first of all that I received. How that, now this is a good story of the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Wherefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. That's verse 11. Okay, what's the gospel? The gospel is Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Now, by the way, the gospel is not you're going to hell. I find offense when somebody comes up to somebody and says, you're going to hell. You need Jesus. Well, since when was going to hell good news?
Yeah, right.
that's not the good news, okay? And sometimes in our telling of the gospel, we get stuck on the Jesus died for you. But the gospel is more than Jesus died for you. Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again. And by the way, as you get into the flow of this chapter, it's more emphasis on the resurrection than it is on the death and the burial. In fact, you go down to verse 12. It's in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how do some say among you there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Not that He died, but if He didn't rise, then guys, your faith is vain. He had to rise. For if the dead be not raised, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and you're yet in your sins. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Drop down to verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown. It is sown. What is sown? Interesting here. But guys, he's talking about the resurrection. Now, he's going to go into a bunch of analogies here about sowing and raised. Sowing and raised. You know, if we die with Him and are planted with Him, we shall be raised. Now, notice these. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. As it is written, or so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was a quickening spirit. Now, by the way, if you believe in marking up your Bible, that's a good verse to mark up. Good verse to mark up. The first Adam, a living soul. Man, God breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. The second Adam was a quickening spirit. If that spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. Okay? Now, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord of heaven. As we have borne the earthy, we shall. I like that. We shall. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, we're back to the verses that I started on. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, by the way, something else to get into your spirit is that change does not have to take a long time. How long does change have to take? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You can make up your mind and you can change. You can turn around and change. Now, once you turn around, it may take you a little while to work out the process. But you can change. Isn't that what repent means? To change direction?
Exactly.
To go one way and then say, this is not good. I'm changing.
Amen.
And go the other way.
Amen.
I had that happen to me just this last fall in the natural. I was down in Nevada preaching at a friend of ours down there. The brother came and he looked me up and down. He said, we need to lose some weight, don't we? I went down to the next place. It was a conference, a meeting. The apostolic figure that was leading that meeting came up to me, greeted me and said, we need to lose some weight, don't we? Now, guys normally don't greet guys like that. That's not typical guy talk. So I took it as a thus saith the Lord, and I decided that if God was talking to me and making guys talk like they normally don't talk, that I didn't need a donkey to come along and confirm the word, that I was willing to listen. So I decided I was going to change my lifestyle. Because the way I had been living, the way I live, we eat a lot of fast food, and I happen to love breads. And I happen to love cakes and cookies and pecan pie, especially pecan pie, and a whole bunch of other things. So I decided I was going to lose some weight. and learn a different lifestyle. So from the end of October till now, I've dropped 53 pounds and got 10 more to lose. And then when I get there, I'm going to stay there. Why? Now, I changed my mind, and I decided I could change. Now, by the way, if anybody is going to change, honey, it's you. And you got to change you. Somebody else can't do it for you. You got to change you. You got to change you. Now, you can get help and support, but honey, if you're not behind it, it ain't going to happen. And if you know what you're supposed to be doing, why aren't you doing it? Now, by the way, I am not a good counselor. My idea of counseling is you're wrong, okay? Go to the cross, get it fixed, and get on with it. You want to counsel for 6 months to get over this, 12 months to get over it? Honey, Christ died for you. He was buried, He rose again. You got problems, I got problems, all of God's kids got problems, so what?
Yeah.
You were abused, so what? You had it rough, so what? You can't read, so what? Hey, up until the time you graduated from high school, that might have been your parents' fault, but after you graduated from high school, it's your fault. You would be surprised how many people in America are illiterate. And honey, if that's you, there's nobody else going to learn to read but you. So get to it. Mm-hmm. And for us older ones, the computer is not going to go away. You can bind it in Jesus' name and do all kinds of things to it and call it the devil and the Antichrist and all of that kind of stuff. But get your grandkid to show you some things and learn how to use it. You can change. You can change. You really, 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 really can. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Now, by the way, I love signs around churches. This would make a good sign over the nursery. They shall not all sleep, but they shall all be changed. There was another sign I saw when I was down in Long Beach by a pastor's office. I was waiting outside to see a pastor, and the sign said, "There they go, and I must hurry after them, for I am their leader." Okay, but there was a phrase in this verse that we've read that caught my eye and caught my spirit that I had to look into. And that's the phrase that said, "Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Now, that concerned me. Because I'm flesh and blood. And I want to inherit the kingdom of God. And if flesh and blood cannot, I want to know why. Curious minds got to know. So I went looking to find out why flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Because when God says cannot, He doesn't mean may not. When God says cannot, He means cannot. Not going to happen. Not like some parents who are being raised by their children. No. No. I said no. Didn't you hear me say no? If I'm going to have your dad talk to you. I'm going to have your mother talk to you. No! Then they start to get up, and all of a sudden, a lot of children raising their parents because they know what tone you have to get to before they have to obey. That's another sermon. Okay, back to this one. In Genesis chapter 2:7, we've referred to this already. God made man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. I would have loved to have been there to see that. I would have loved to have seen God gather dust, make a man, and that dust become flesh. Now, science will tell us what dust we come from, you know, and the components of that dust and the elements and all of this. And science has come so far. And by the way, I'm thankful how far science has come, because if it weren't for science, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be one dead turkey. I'd be dead. Okay? God and science work together on me. Okay? That's another testimony. It's on the website. Okay? But I would have loved to have seen that transformation, whatever it is, from dust to flesh. I would have liked to have seen that. Do you hear about the scientists that told God, you know, we can do that now. We can make man out of dust. They had a contest. Into this room. Table. Pile of dust. God says, wait a moment. Get your own dust. In Genesis chapter 9, when God was talking to Noah, we see a little bit more insight into this flesh and blood. It was the first time I found where the words were used together. Talking about what he could eat and not eat. God says to Noah, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. Or we use the phrase, the life of the flesh is the blood. Now, how far away from your flesh is the blood? How far away from your cells is the blood? Listen, there are big veins and big arteries and all of that, but honey, when you get down to the little cells, every cell has got to touch the blood. It's got to get rid of the garbage and get some oxygen and get life and pull nutrients out of the blood and get rid of garbage. Every cell has got to touch the blood. Every cell has got to touch the blood. The life thereof, with the flesh thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, in a message there, it says, and God made of one blood all men, all nations of men, to dwell upon the face of the earth. God made of one blood. Now, I don't care what color your skin is or what your ethnical background is, of one blood.
That's right.
Of one blood. Of Adam, God made all the men on the face of the earth. I don't care if you're a black man. If your type is the same as my type, I can use your blood. You cut you, you bleed red. You don't bleed black. You don't bleed white. You don't bleed yellow. Of one blood, God hath made all men upon the face of the earth. In John chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe on his name, which were born. Now, notice this. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Wait a second. Flesh and blood. Which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Behold, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. A body thou hast prepared me. A body thou hast prepared me. Born in the fullness of time, born of a woman. The Word became flesh. Now, the first two births that we have a third of a dozen kids. The first two I missed. They wouldn't let husbands in the delivery room. Then they switched and they let us in, and I got to witness the birth of the last two children that we had. Guys, if you ever want to appreciate your wife, get in on the delivery of one of your children. Give you a new appreciation for that young lady. Okay? And you'll find out that born of blood is not a spiritual metaphor.
That's right.
Guys, they don't come out as pretty as in the nursery with a blanket. They don't come out that pretty. Mm-mm, mm-mm. Okay, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood. Now, you know, that was concerning me, flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Children are partakers of flesh and blood. I'm a partaker of flesh and blood. Okay, I didn't have to be made from the dust. God didn't have to start from scratch with me. Okay, nor with you. Children are partakers of flesh and blood. And now, when I look for this phrase, flesh and blood, there were several places in the Bible where this shows up. I'm going to hit them for you. And we're familiar with them. We really are. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, by the way, your conflict might be with your husband or with your children or with your boss or with your neighbor or with your spouse, something. It may be embodied in flesh and blood, a person that you're conflict with, but the real battle is not there, and you're not going to come to resolution until you see the spiritual aspects of the battle and deal with the battle on another realm. It's not a matter of just that individual. But we wrestle not against what? Against flesh and blood. Another passage. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus says, "Whom do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." Now catch this. "For flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, by the way, if you're sitting here in this room this morning and you have a revelatory knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that did not come to you by flesh and blood. If you know that, it came via the Father. And the Father showed it unto you. Well, wait a second. I chose God. Well, yeah, you might have cooperated a little bit along in there, but you'll find out sooner or later that you didn't choose Him. He chose you. He apprehended you. Conflicts with the enemy aren't flesh and blood. You know, they're not rooted there. And our understanding doesn't come from flesh and blood. In fact, so much so that Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, when he was saved and he determined that it was God's pleasure to reveal His Son in him, that he might preach him among the Gentiles, Paul says, "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't look for that realm for wisdom." Okay? "But I went into the wilderness." Back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. "For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself," Jesus also himself, "took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." But now wait a second. It didn't say he partook of the same. It said he took part of the same. He didn't partake. He took part. Well, if he took part, what part did he take? He took the flesh. He did not take the blood. Oh, wait a second, Ward. What are you saying? I'm saying, wait a second, here's a bouncing baby boy. Who's the father? Let's have a paternity test. This woman's accusing this person of being the father and this and that and the other. Popular on TV nowadays. Let's give the kid a paternity test and the father a paternity test. Why? Well, DNA will show it. Why? Because the blood comes from the father. The circulatory system of the baby is separate from the circulatory system of the mother. It joins at the umbilical cord to the womb, but one circulatory system is not the other. The blood of the mother does not flow through the baby. Otherwise, the type of the mother's blood would be the type of the baby's blood. But the baby can have a different blood type than the mother. What determines the blood type? The father does. That's what science is telling us in the paternity tests that they're doing. The father determines the blood type. Now, wait a second. "Be it unto me according to thy will." And the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And the seed that was planted in her, the incorruptible seed, was the seed of God. Ward, what are you saying? I'm saying that you give Jesus a paternity test, you'll find out who his father is. You'll find out who his father is. And he is not of the one blood. "Of one blood he made all men upon the face of the earth." Jesus took part of the same. He didn't take it all. He took part. He took the flesh, but he didn't take the blood. In the fullness of time, he came forth, born of a woman. Not born of a man. Born of a woman. Wait a second. What are you saying? I'm saying that the blood that flowed through Jesus came from God. Is it any wonder that the Word says, oh, the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, the precious blood of Jesus. Hang on with me. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, wait a second. Here we have blood and flesh, flesh and blood in the same passage. Remember, I'm looking for flesh and blood. We have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way which he hath consecrated through the veil that is the flesh, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Now, in the tabernacle of Moses, there's different entry points. And I, knowing the pastors you've got, I know you've been exposed to the tabernacle of Moses. I know you have. First, to hit the gate. By the way, who is your gate? Who gets you in? Jesus. Jesus is the only door in of salvation, right? Only door. Okay, gets you into God. Then you have a hanging to get you into the realm of the Holy Ghost. Who is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit? Jesus is. I mean, every doorway in God is tied up with Jesus. When we come to the holiest of all, and by the way, I do not think that the church has experienced everything yet.
Right.
I think there's more in the latter days than there is in the former days. There is a former rain, there is a latter rain. There is a former house, there is a latter house. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the new. There's the first wine and the latter wine as far as the wedding feast. And why did you save the best for last? The last, guys, is going to be better than the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
You mean we're just not going to hang on until the end?
That's right.
No, guys, there's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost coming, the like
Amen.
Of which the world has never seen.
Amen.
There is a breeze that is going to hit the church. There is. But now, back to this verse. By the blood of Jesus, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Through the veil. Now, of the three doors, this is the only one that is called his flesh. The only one that is called his flesh. There is a rending of the veil. There is a sprinkling of blood. There is face to face, being known even as you are fully known. Guys, that's marriage terminology. That's marriage terminology. Now, I'm not going to go a lot into the veil right there, because that's a whole different message as far as entering in and so on, and the idea of that. But there's more there, guys. There's more there. In Luke chapter 24, verse 39, the disciples are gathered together after the resurrection in fear and trembling, and they're just, you know, wondering what happened and all of this. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is there in the midst. Don't be afraid. Listen to him in verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Wait a second. I was looking for flesh and blood. Here is a new phrase. Flesh and bones. What happened to the blood? He poured out his blood for you and for me. How much of it? All of it. In Gethsemane, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. In Pilate's hall, he was beaten, back lacerated, bleeding, crown of thorns on his head, Have you ever had a wound to your head and how much that bleeds? At the cross, He was nailed to the cross by His hands and by His feet, bleeding. Came time to make sure they were dead. Don't break His legs to make sure that He dies that way. Pierce His side. I think He's dead already. And out came water mingled with blood, showing that His heart is broken. How much of His blood did He pour out? All of it. All of the precious blood of Jesus. Spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Flesh and bones. He came in a glorified body. He ate fish. The fish got glorified. You're saying, come on, Ward. I'm sorry, this is the way my mind works. If it hadn't gotten glorified when He went out through the wall, He would have left the fish on the wall. Had to be glorified. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. Chapter on marriage. And it's a great mystery. Guys, take a clue. It's a great mystery. You're not going to figure it out. I've been at this for a good many years. 1966. She's a mystery. You're not going to fix her. She's a mystery.
Amen.
Ephesians 5, verse 30. Now listen to this. For we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. What? The same phrase that Jesus introduced in the upper room is now the phrase that is used of us. We are members of His body, not of His flesh and blood, but we are members of His flesh and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they will be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, I know, guys, that we've used that verse on ourselves, looking at us, body, soul, and spirit, and the word of God dividing between soulishness and spirit inside of us, you know, and dealing with things inside of our life. Let me put a different spin on that. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The second Adam was a quickening spirit. And the Word of God comes to divide between soul and spirit. What am I saying? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for they shall not inherit. Now, wait a second. There's that word. Now, I'm throwing in a lot of scriptures without giving references of where they come and so on. But listen to the tape again. Cast out the bondwoman and the son, they shall not inherit. Not with the promised son. There is a son of the flesh, there is a son of the spirit. Shall not inherit. What are we talking about? Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood speaks of the one blood of which all children are partakers, of which He made all men upon the face of the earth. The Adamic race will not inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Not flesh and blood, but bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but flesh and bone will.
That's good. Wow.
Flesh and bone will inherit the kingdom. Okay? Now, guys, the problem comes not with seeing that or not seeing that in the Scripture. Back to Ezekiel chapter 37. if you're turning. It becomes, if you're not, just write it down. I'd rather you listen to me than just spend time turning. And then go get the tape and go back and listen to it again. This is a message you need to hear more than once. Okay? If I've introduced something, if you've already, if you say, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, and there's nothing new to you, don't worry about it. But if this is the first time on some of the stuff that I'm talking about this morning, go back and hear it again, please. And check me out. Go get your Bible and check me out. And find out if what I'm saying is right on or not right on. Okay? The problem is not that flesh and blood won't, because we got that in black and white. Flesh and blood will not, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and bone shall. Now the problem comes, which are we? Are we bone of his bone? Or are we flesh and blood? Now, the book Ezekiel chapter 37, the chapter there, when we were filled with the Holy Spirit back in 1960, before some of you were born, and the Christian church in Parkwood Valley came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we went to this chapter, and we identified ourselves and the denomination as the dry bones, and that we got filled with the Holy Spirit, now we weren't dry bones anymore. Okay? There's a problem there. Now, it's a good preaching. And I love this. I love this chapter. Them bones, them bones, them. Now, hear the word of the Lord. Okay, now the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit, set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, O Lord God, thou knowest. Safe answer. Okay? Really safe answer. Now, by the way, how did you get to the valley floor? We are bone of his bone. We're bone. You know, God reached down and grabbed you, pulled you out of good Lord knows what. Cut off some stuff and tossed you out onto the valley. And you go boom, 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 boom. You're landed out there in the valley. Now, by the way, he didn't save the church here at Port Ludlow and toss the church out in the valley. He saved you one by one.
That's right.
And caught you one by one.
That's right.
And tossed you out there. And all of a sudden, you're out there on the valley floor and you look around and you say, I'm not alone. There's other bones out here. Now, by the way, the antithesis of a dry bone is not a bone that's been rained on. The opposite of a dry bone is the bone that's off the butcher's block, you know, where he's taken it, and he takes the bone and tosses it into the barrel, and you pick up that old thigh bone, and it's heavy. It's heavy, why? Because it's got blood in it. Blood in it. Yeah. Separating between soul and spirit. The Word of God goes into the marrow and into the joints. Why? Because that's where the blood originates, is created in the marrow, and it comes into the body through the joints. The Word of God is not only separating first Adam from second Adam, but getting at the source of life of the first Adam. Okay, now, out there on the desert floor, plop, 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 plop. Now, by the way, did God deal with all the Adam in you when he first saved you?
Well, yes.
Yes and no. Because, yes, it's all done in Calvary. Hallelujah. It's all finished. Glory to God. But, honey, you ain't finished yet.
Lord, thou knowest.
Lord, thou knowest. Okay, there. Have you found out that this walking out the Christian life is a process? And it's going to take you your whole life? Hallelujah. Guys, you're never going to learn it all. Don't ever think that you get to the point where you say, oh, I know it all.
Yeah, right on.
I mean, how big is God? No, you don't know it all. And some things, he just immediately breaks and puts... I mean, I've seen people that one day they're not saved, the next day they are, and drinking is gone. And they never have another problem with it. I have seen other people who have an ongoing problem with drinking, even though they're saved. And I'm not talking just about... I'm talking about drunkenness. You know, I'm talking about drunkenness. Or whatever other, you know, lying. Attitudes, bad attitudes. All kinds of things that need to be refined. That's easier to see in everybody else than it is in us. But we come into church, and Pastor Kevin's there. And he takes the sword. And we're just standing there, sitting there, minding our own business. And all of a sudden he goes, pop, 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 pop. And we... I just got all the flesh cut off of me. I mean, he whittled on me. I didn't see things were bad, now I see things are bad and I'm bleeding. I need 6 months of counseling. Have you ever felt like you got some of your flesh cut off in service, huh? Now you say, God, that's not fair. They go talk to them. They need it more than I do. But God doesn't seem to worry about them. He's just concerned about you. The preacher, you're preaching to me. Honey, if you didn't want to be preached to, don't come. Oh, God, there's nothing. Have you ever gotten to the place where you say, God, there's nothing more you can cut off me? I'm done. If you keep this up, I'm going to die. Oh, maybe that's an idea. Planted with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's the resurrection, I think, that the Spirit's interested in this day, the resurrection. Okay, we think we're all done, and then God grabs us. Oh, God, it's so good to be picked by you. And put in a place of responsibility and leadership in the church. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I knew your gift would shine. Then he takes his knife and starts scraping. You ever felt like God was nitpicking? Where do you think they get hamburger from anyway? And then he tosses you out on the valley floor. And you say, thank you, God, that's over with. And then God says to Gabriel, turn up the heat. Oh, wait a second. I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You want to speak in tongues? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You want revelation and knowledge? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Want the gifts of the Spirit? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Then he shuts the oven door and turns it up. We forgot it was the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire.
Yeah, right, that's right.
And fire. What's the fire for? To dry you out. To dry you out, to dry out the bones. Now, guys, when I look at that valley of dry bones, I used to say, oh, poor bones. You know, I thought, oh, those are the bad bones. But then I saw that there was flesh and bone that was without blood, and that the blood had to be gotten rid of somehow. And I saw these bones and I said, oh, cool. Now, there's some neat things about these bones. Once, there's very many. Honey, you are not in this by yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
There are very many dry bones, and they are very dry. And I take consolation in that, too. Because the drying process worked. God wanted to deal with blood, and he dealt with it. The bones are dry. Hallelujah. Where are you in the drying process? Don't stop it.
That's right.
Don't stop it. Don't take yourself out of the dealing of God. He said, prophesy unto the bones. And he prophesied, and there was a noise and the shaking, and the bones came together. I love it when bones come together. Bone to his bone. I like that bone, his bone. Now, by the way, there are lots of bones, but there are not many of them you'll be able to call my bone or his bone. There's lots of bones in the body, but this bone is only joined to two. Can you imagine if this bone was joined to this bone, and then this bone tried to get into my ear? Not appropriate. But, I mean, there are some people in the body that you'll meet, you'll say, ooh, how are they even saved? You know, I wonder, why don't they sit by somebody else? And they always come and greet me. Will somebody please tell them to get a bath? Hello? Okay? Bone to his bone. There are other people you meet, and there's just a... I mean, there are people I have met for a moment, and it's like we've known each other forever. Instant affinity, instant closeness, and friendships that last a lifetime. Bone, his bone. Now, by the way, you need to find some bones you can join with, because it's the joints that supply in the body of Christ. Not the individual bones, but it's the joints supply by the working together. And the body builds up itself together in love. Could you imagine the prophecy coming to these bones? And all of a sudden, this bone finds this bone. Ooh, boom, boom. Good. Hallelujah. And then these two bones go across the desert floor. Boom, boom. And then three of them go across the desert floor. Then they get hooked up and there's a whole hand going across the desert floor. Sometimes that's what it feels like as I travel with churches. I say, oh, this church is a hand going across the desert floor. It hasn't found the rest of the body yet, but it's working on it. You know, but the whole bones come together, and all of a sudden out on the desert floor we got skeletons. They didn't come that way to start with. But then God says, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And verse 6, I will lay sinew upon you, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live and know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I commanded, and there was a noise and a shaking that came together. Sinew and flesh came upon them, skin covered them. There was no breath upon them. He said unto me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, O man of God. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came upon them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. He said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Guys, we're in the stage right now when the prophetic word is about to come blow upon these bones. Amen. Can you imagine the breath of God coming from the four corners and blowing upon those bones? Blowing upon the church. We look at the church and say, oh, they're still dead. They might have flesh, they might have skin, but they're still dead. The church just isn't what it used to be. Honey, hang on. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former.
Amen.
But now I want you to notice something about this army that's now standing out there on the desert floor. They are bone, they are sinew, they are flesh, they are skin. They are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. There is no blood in that army.
Interesting.
Never put blood in him. He never put blood in him. What is this army a type of? It's a type of flesh and bone. Well, where do we find that? Spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and bone will. Flesh and bone will. Don't hold on to the Adamic.
Amen.
Don't hold on to the Adamic. When the Spirit of God, the Word of God, comes to divide between soul and spirit and separate, there's a separation that's talked about in the last days. They'll go into the field and separate the tares first. Don't hold on to anything that will keep you in Adam.
Amen. Excellent.
Do you hear me there? Don't hold on to anything that will keep you in Adam. Let the Word of God do its work inside of you and change you. because you can be planted and you shall be in the image of the heavenly. You shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. A few more verses and I'm going to close. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, by the way, I was raised in a camp that did not believe in doctors or medicine, and God had to deal with me on that particular point, because we went for about 8 to 10 years without seeing a doctor or a dentist or anything. During that time, I saw outstanding miracles. I saw teeth filled by the Holy Spirit. I saw bones set. I saw a polio victim walk. I mean, I saw some amazing, amazing miracles. One day I was reading along and I saw this, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The Spirit of God spoke to me and said, Ward, do you need to tear that verse out? Because I was saying, medicine is not of God. You know, doctors aren't of God. God is faith plus nothing. Now, let me give you a clue, guys. If somebody needs to change, and it's between you and God, he changes not. I had to rethink my stand on that particular point as far as medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But now I was looking at that back part of that verse as, oh, that's bad. Dry bones are bad. Because I'm thinking of natural human health, and in human health you don't want dry bones. But all of a sudden, if we take it out of the natural and make it spiritual, and we're looking for dry bones, and we're wanting, and understand me right, we're wanting the absence of blood, and don't go cut yourself and try to bleed all your blood out. Guys, that's not going to work. It's not. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. Okay? But if we want dry bones, get what this verse is saying. A broken spirit dries the bones. You know, you can fall on the rock and be broken. Or the rock can fall on you and you can be crushed. It's better to fall into the hands of a living God. It's better to fall into the hands of a living God. Psalm 51:16-17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Oh, sometimes we say, well, we got to perfect you. So here's the law, the law, the law, the law, the law, the law. The law made nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did. How do we get perfect? I tell you, in the midst of the situation that you're in, the midst of the difficulty, the midst of what you're going through, whether it's marriage or family, relationships, jobs, financial, whatever it is, allow your heart to be broken by God in the midst of that situation.
That's right.
You know, sometimes we try to gather it together and hold it all together and try to maintain our sanity and whatnot and whatnot and whatnot and try to be strong. When in the presence of God, we need to break. And we need to just pull out before Him and say, God, if you don't help me in this, I'm not going to make it. God, I need you. I need you or I'm toast. And you know what? The sacrifices of God is not coming in the presence of God and say, God, I've read all my verses. God, I did all my tithing. God, I witnessed the three people this week. Now listen, I'm glad you did all of that. But if what you got out of it is you stuck in your thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. Those things you do are not brownie points. Our righteousness is still as filthy rags. Our righteousness is not our... It's His. That's another message. Okay? Back to this. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Last verse, Psalm 34:18-20. The Lord is nigh them of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I misread that. Let me start again. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such be as a contrite spirit. The Lord is near. Do you want to get near to God? We draw near. Take a clue. The Lord is near them of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The Lord is near. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Then, now, notice that. I mean, he's talking about a broken spirit, contrite heart, delivering the righteous. In verse 20, he throws in a strange verse. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Where'd that come from? Talk about putting things out of context. But it's not out of context. If you see the thread running through Scripture, a broken heart dries the bones. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. On the cross, break his legs. No, don't. Don't. Don't break his legs. There's a verse that holds true in God, and God will see it fulfilled. Not a bone will be broken. Pierce his side, yes. Let the blood come out, yes. But don't break a bone. Now, beloved, I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I am one of the bones that he's keeping. I am a kept bone. He will dry me, but he will not break me. He will break my heart and teach me the lessons that are to be learned there. But I will not be broken. Why? Because I'm bone of his bone. I'm flesh of his flesh. I have a destiny on a valley floor with a whole bunch of others who are very dry. And we're going to come together, and we're going to have flesh and sinew and skin put upon us. And we're going to feel what it is for that breath to blow again from the four corners. And we're going to stand up. A great army without a broken bone and with no blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but flesh and bone will. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come. You say, Father, in your word that you'll confirm the word with signs following. So, Father, right now I ask for the confirmation of the Holy Spirit to come. I ask, Father, for the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, move inside our natural bodies and quicken. Let there be healings this morning, Father, by the Spirit of God. Let there be a touching, Father, of the glands and organs and bodies. Let there be a healing, Father, of pancreas this morning. Let there be a healing, Father, of every gland in the body. Let there be a touch of the Spirit upon individuals. We ask, Father, for confirmation this morning.
Yes.
Now seal this word into our hearts, Father, and let the Holy Spirit just brood upon it like he broods upon the face of the water, and let it bring forth fruit. Let there be change, Father. Let there be change, we ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Will you lift your hands and praise him?
Yes.
Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. Oh, we give you glory, Lord. We give you glory. You're mighty, God. You're mighty. You're mighty, oh God. You're mighty. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. You're wonderful, Lord. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're wonderful, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Pastor. Oh, Father, we praise you. We praise you. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God.
rich every time he comes, isn't it? It's an unfolding of the Word of God, the ministry of a teacher, powerful teacher. And I really urge us all to take time with the Lord over the things that were spoken this morning. I will confess to you, as your pastor, I believe wholeheartedly God is about the business of doing something very supernatural. God is on the move. The Spirit of God, the winds are blowing, and God is bringing change to our lives. I urge us all to be responsive. Amen? How many want to respond to the Lord? The winds of the Spirit are blowing. Several of us just finished reading Watchman Nee's book, Love Not the World, as you began to talk about the separation of the soul and the spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking something over and over. Would you raise your hands with me? Lord, we together say we will respond. We respond to you and we say, yes, Lord, we surrender. Lord, we surrender and go ahead, Lord. Dry your bones. Dry your bones. Dry us, Lord, and make us full of life, full of the Spirit, the fragrant anointing. But, oh God, we receive your hand in each of our lives as you deal with us, each of us, to make us what you want us to be. Because we're not interested in walking alone. We want to be bone to his bone. We want to be, and thank you that we are, bone of your bones. Thank you for the richness of your word, Lord. We commit it to you now, in Jesus' name. The Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. I urge you to take time to meet with him. If you want to come up afterwards, there'll be opportunity and space for prayer. If you have a need in your body, we believe Jesus is healing. And he does heal, and he is the healer. Come up and let people pray for you. We'd be honored to do so. If you're here this morning and you're looking at me and saying, I have no idea what just happened here this morning. Maybe it's your time to give your life to Jesus. And it'll all begin to make sense then. We encourage you to do that. We'll be honored to pray with you.